fighting for America.
Hamas is a ruthless terrorist organization. It wants to sacrifice its own people. It uses them as human shields. Israel is not obliged and is not going to let a terrorist organization fire at our cities, at our people.
Fighting for Idaho.
This all has to start with securing the border, not writing the president a blank check to keep doing what he's doing that's not working. Wouldn't it be good to actually allow the governors of those border states to be able to call the National Guard and to help secure the border?
Fighting for you.
She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy.
This is a family value show.
I'm just trying to add a little spice.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's something I'll never forget as long as I live.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you for being with us. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Fresh off the big legal decision yesterday, the soon-to-be-going-fishing Chris Troupas joins us now.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Good to have you with us, sir. You know, I'm doing a survey here before we get rolling, and our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who Facebooks me all the time, has decided to actually give me some guidance on legal training, and I'm thinking to myself, well, Chris Troupas, I know you get this all the time. I mean, when is it too late to go to law school?
It's never too late.
Really?
I actually knew somebody who was in his early 50s who went to law school and enjoyed it considerably. You know, with the business experience that he had before, he had a completely different approach to the law, a practical one, which, boy, we'd sure that would be wonderful for the legal profession if more attorneys had that.
Well, I'm just thinking to myself, broadcasting, I've been doing this for about 20 years. I don't know if I really have a future in it, so I'm trying to think of a good career in the second part of my life. And so you think 46 isn't too bad, though?
Not a bit. I think you would you'd have an enjoyable career, and I think you could accomplish a lot because you have a perspective that is completely different from the kids who end up going right out of college to law school.
Just wondering if I could recoup my investment because law school isn't cheap.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive than when I went to law school, I gotta say that. I think about eight times, the tuition's eight times as much as I paid to go to law school back in 1973.
Those were the good old times, huh?
You betcha.
Well, I mean, that was just on our way to skyrocketing interest rates for homes. We had the Arab fuel crisis. We had a lot of things going on there in the 70s.
Yeah, we had the end of the Vietnam War, and I think Nixon was president.
If you had to go back, Nixon wasn't so bad compared to today, I think.
No, he wasn't.
Now, look, if Nixon were a Democrat, I think after I go to law school, that's going to be the title of my new bestseller there. If Nixon were a Democrat.
If Nixon were a Democrat, that's a great one.
Well, you think about it. But anyway, I digress. Chris Troupas, so Twin Falls yesterday. Well, before we get to that, what do you make of political reporter Dan Popke after 30 years with the Statesman, the dean of political reporting here? A lot of people say the scourge of Republicans joining the staff of Congressman Raul Labrador.
Well, wow.
were you consulted on that decision at all?
Yeah, my first thought was that Congressman Labrador is perhaps thinking he has to reconnect with a lot of people in Idaho who think he is too conservative for them if he were intending to come back here and perhaps run for a state office of some kind. But then I thought, no, he likes Washington too much to come back and run for governor. So I thought maybe he was going to try to use Dan's influence and his perspective in a run for the speaker's race in October. And finally, I just realized, you know what? I just think he wants to connect with more people here. And he thought that it would be helpful. I think it'll be like iron sharpening iron, with or steel sharpening steel, with the two of them and a different view of the issues. And maybe it'll be good for him.
Well, and these aren't your words, Chris Troupas. These are mine. One's an idealist, Popke, and the other's the opportunist, Labrador. So we'll see how that plays out. But,
it's a very unlikely duo, I'll tell you.
And that's why you are the well-spoken attorney. But one more thing on this Labrador thing. He's going to have trouble with a lot of Republicans here just because of Dan Popke's reporting over the years, I would say.
Oh, you're not kidding. Although, when Dan has talked about me, I thought he was reasonably fair. And so, you know, perhaps it's maybe he sees something in Dan's reporting and the you know, the opinions and values that he brings that'll be helpful to him. Raul Labrador is certainly an astute astute political mind, and so I don't doubt that he's given this a lot of thought, and you know, he sees something valuable in it.
Well, and like a lot of folks, he is his own man. So we'll move on from the Labrador infomercial. So you're sitting there getting ready to get all these phone calls about your hearing yesterday, and
right,
all of a sudden you have this. So let's get back to the point. Were you surprised with what happened in Twin Falls yesterday? And for people that aren't familiar, that don't follow politics like they should, what happened?
Well, let me say this first. I wasn't surprised. I was surprised in the mechanics of it, not in the outcome. But let me just give you a brief kind of overview of it. You know, we at the conclusion of the convention, Raul Labrador announced to the delegates that if they voted against suspending the rules to continue the convention would adjourn and all the party officers would remain in office. And then the convention delegates overwhelmingly voted to adjourn. So we assumed that the result was that the officers remained in office. I argued we couldn't unring that bell. And this lawsuit occurred because shortly after that, some members of the executive committee, some members of the establishment, convened an executive committee that basically declared all the offices are vacant, and they elected an interim vice chairman, Mike Matthews, who then issued a notice to convene this August 2 meeting of the Central Committee to elect a new state officers. In the meantime, the Rules Committee, representing all seven regions of Idaho, met, and the Rules Committee said that they reviewed what happened at the convention and said, we do have officers. So Barry Peterson, whose term was a two-year term that started June 24, 2012, well, on June 23, 2014, within the 2 years, issued a call for a meeting of the Central Committee to consider whether to accept or reject the Rules Committee's determination that we had state officers reelected, and if necessary, elect new officers. That's what the court considered, was which side to take, and he split the baby. What the judge did was he said, you know what, and he had to go through a pretty complicated interpretation of Robert's Rules of Order to do this, but he said that when Raul Labrador made that statement, they'll remain in office, and then the delegates voted, it didn't result in their remaining in office, and he used a complicated interpretation of Robert's Rules of Order to reach that result. So he said, well, we didn't elect new officers. Then he said, when the other side convened that executive committee meeting, it violated the rights of the conservative members of the committee to notice, so he struck the executive committee's decision and meeting. That meant that Matthews was not elected interim vice chairman, so he couldn't call a meeting, so he struck Matthews' call of the August 2 meeting. Then he said that the chairman was no longer the chairman, even though the two-year term of office hadn't expired, because he said 2 years isn't 2 years. 2 years really means convention to convention. And so Barry's two-year term that started June 24, 2012, expired June 14, 2014, when they didn't reelect new officers. So he basically said Barry couldn't call the meeting on August 9, which led him to his decision, which he said, but the members of the committee itself could call their own meeting, and when they signed a statement saying they wanted a meeting on August 2, he said that would be the meeting. But the result was we have a meeting without a chairman. Neither Barry Peterson nor Mike Matthews gets to chair that meeting, and we got a meeting with no agenda, because the members have to set the agenda themselves at the meeting. So we've got a split the baby decision, is what we have. And, you know, what an interesting result. I expected that result, but the way that he got it there was what I would refer to as ingenious and inventive interpretation of party rules.
Chris Troupas with us, attorney Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. So, the August 2nd meeting happens. Who's going to hold the gavel?
Well, Nobody at this point. There isn't anybody to hold the gavel at all. It is what is referred to in Robert's Rules as a mass meeting, which I refer to can be a mass hysteria. The members have to elect a chairman to start the meeting. So we'll get nominations from the floor of the meeting. Someone will just yell out, "I nominate so-and-so," and then they'll proceed from there and vote from the floor. They don't even have anybody to take the vote. Then the members have to set an agenda and decide what they're going to decide. And, you know, even though the judge said that there's no chairman and no state officers and the Rules Committee's decision is invalid, he commented at the end of the hearing that he hoped the first order of business would be an up or down vote on the Rules Committee's determination that delegates did vote to reelect all the officers, which I found rather interesting. And by the way, he said that was not part of his ruling. That was just a political comment, and he even wondered about the wisdom of it when he made it.
A political comment in court.
Yes, and he said this was a difficult decision because it involved both political questions, which courts are supposed to stay out of, but legal questions, which I think he properly determined that that he could decide.
So how's our friend Barry doing? Hopefully Barry's listening right now.
Barry. Barry's up in the mountains with his family, and I hope he's enjoying.
He ran to the hills?
He did run to the hills, but you know, I think Barry is relieved. Because in all of this, Barry has been treated very shabbily by the press. It's been characterized that he's an embattled chairman and that he's been trying to maintain control of the party as though Barry was ever interested in power. And you and I both know Barry well. This is a man of truly marvelous character and integrity. Barry simply wanted to see the rule of law followed. He wanted to see the party rules followed. He wanted to restore confidence in the conservatives in the party that there was respect all the way around and that we could work together under the rules. Barry was never interested in preserving a little fiefdom for himself as chairman, but that's what the press has done to him, and that's how they've characterized him. So I think Barry's relieved that he is finally out of this fray.
Well, Barry gets a life.
Yeah, he gets a life, and you know what? I hope that that he does very well.
More coming up with our great friend Chris Troupas here at 580 KIDO. We'll talk about the ramifications of the court ruling, what it means for the governor's race, what it means for the Republicans, which side will get along with which. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. The return of Harley Brown coming up next hour. He'll be in studio. Looking forward to that. Back to our friend Chris Troupas. Man of the world. So what are you going to go fishing for today, Chris?
Oh, smallmouth bass down at CJ Strike.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a day with without cell service.
You and the NSA, I would imagine.
Probably right.
So, Chris, let's talk a little bit about what this decision means politically. We've gone over it legally, but what does it mean politically to the state GOP?
Well, you know, I view this as an opportunity. The judge said I told him, I said, this case is really about restoring faith in the party for the conservative half of the party. And he joked that wasn't his job. But, you know, I think he tried to do it by orchestrating a decision that left all the decisions up to the largest body of party members, the whole Central Committee, rather than the establishment faction or the conservative side. So to get that result, he declared, we don't have a chairman, we don't have interim officers, neither call the party was correct, but we'll just leave it up to this entire committee of 223 members on Saturday. So I think he gave an opportunity. He gave an opportunity to the party to show respect for each side, to get together and pick a new chairman and new officers who are acceptable to both sides and will represent both sides. So it's an opportunity for the party to become unified But you know as well as I do, a judicial decree doesn't change hearts and minds. So we'll have to see how that plays out on Saturday.
Right, and we'll all be waiting with bated breath. However, you know, we go back to the governor's side, the other people's side. Do you think there'll be any movement, or will the conservatives have to say, you know, maybe they'll have to swallow some pride and, you know, reach out to the governor?
I think both sides have to.
And they say that they want to, but then get the talking points, Chris, with, well, he's done this, this, and this. And I'm thinking, hey, that's great, but the governor did win.
Absolutely. You know, I do think there is room, you know, and I think the conservatives are going to have to move, and I think the establishment's going to have to move. I think everybody knows that, and it's been this awkward dance where no one wants to make the first move. I have to credit Barry Peterson again with, you know, he attempted over and over to reach a compromise. And basically to give in on important points and on the chairmanship, tried over and over to no avail. So the question is, now that the lawsuit is over and now that we've got a judicially enforced truce and ceasefire, what will be the first words from the governor? What's he going to say? Because I think he can draw this party back together. I think if he makes the offer in good faith, the conservatives will come to his side.
Right, but on the other hand, you know, who's going to be the leader of the rebellion?
There you go.
You talk about the governor. He's the leader of one side, but who's going to be the statesman? Will it be you, Chris Troupas, or are you going to get a life?
I'm going to get a life. I don't think people really want to hear from me again for a while, especially, you know, I kind of was reluctant to file the lawsuit because I didn't think this matter could be resolved in court. We got a lot more accomplished than I thought, and I think moved in the right direction. But I don't want to be the spokesman for the conservative side. We've got a lot of people out there who are actively involved. You know, Tea Party Bob is a very intelligent guy who certainly represents a large part of the conservative group. But there are others as well who could speak up.
With respect to the noted publisher of the Gem State Patriot here at 580KIDO, what about someone who holds office? What about Congressman Labrador, who was quoted in the paper that the governor needs to blah, blah, blah? And I'm going, whoa, 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 the governor won. Or Senator Fulcher or one of those folks. That'd be great for me if Tea Party Bob did it, but what about these other guys?
I think that would be wonderful. And I have to say that before we went to court, a couple of weeks before we went to court, Congressman Labrador called me and said he was available if I thought that there was any way that the establishment would move and that the conservatives, he would do his best to mediate between the two. But he saw what you and I have both seen, which is this stone wall on both sides. And so he was waiting to see some movement or some indication that his efforts would actually be fruitful. And so I never called him in. I never asked him, called in his on his offer. But I'm sure that he would be very willing to step in and mediate between the two parties and try to reach an agreement. I think he's that kind of leader. I do think that that he would be happy to do that, although I'm speaking for him now after a couple of weeks and after a court decision.
It is, but there is that dynamic between he and the governor. So you have Congressman Labrador, perhaps, but on the other hand, Senator Fulcher. Are those the only two that you can think of that are that high profile enough that people will follow them?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think that either Russ or Raul would have to be the ones to step in. And they both have a relationship with the governor, and they have a strong relationship with the conservatives, and so they have credibility. I don't know who else does.
What should we be looking for with Mr. Blukoff now that he's gone up?
Well, I think he's got to run a better campaign, and I think if he expects to take in more of the moderates and even the moderate Republicans, and especially if he wants to take a stab at getting some of the conservative vote, he's going to have to really campaign on the pro-life side, on pro-gun, on the fiscal conservatism. He's really going to have to claim he's more moderate than our governor.
That's kind of tough considering guns and everything else. So after this meeting, do you think the smoke clears? Again, you have a lot of angry people really on both sides, Chris Troupas.
Absolutely. And I think that everybody needs to come with a new they have to have a new attitude on Saturday. Nobody should walk in that door saying, ha ha, we won in court. We're now going to show you. You know, if the shenanigans of the Ada County Establishment Group in selecting delegates are repeated, if the debacle of the convention is repeated, then, you know, that wasn't the first shot in the war, and the court decision wasn't an agreed armistice. The party will continue to be disunified. But both sides ought to come and say, you know what, we both won a little bit, lost a little bit, but the court case isn't what's important. What's important is electing Republicans in the fall. Let's get together and see if we can agree, and agree to disagree respectfully. I think if that happens, you know what? The battle could be over, and nobody's ever going to agree on everything, but we can agree to respect each other and respectfully disagree. That's how the political parties have operated, and that's how we should be.
Chris Troupas, we won't keep you from fishing any longer. Stay out of trouble, and I guess welcome to getting a life. Maybe we should just have a big party here at the Miller Program. I don't know. It'd be unconventional to have a breakfast party, but kind of have like the soiree here. Maybe, I guess, well, the budget would I guess we would be in the parking lot here, and you know, we could have everybody, play kickball and sing Kumbaya. Maybe that would bring them together.
Hey, you bet. I'm all for that.
You know, Chris Troupas, because I'm a uniter.
Yes, you are. Well, at least you're very entertaining. I got to say that.
Well, thank you. And by the way, you know, you're not going to be a stranger. We're going to have you back as long as you're available. So, you know, please, if you have anything or not, we're going to have you. We'd love to have you as a regular contributor.
You know, I'd appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much, Kevin. And you have just a wonderful day.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we have it. Chris Troupas with us at 580 KIDO. The big meeting going on, and I guess Barry's in the mountains, so I guess we won't be able to get a hold of Barry. It is 633. Harley Brown coming up next hour. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO. I can tell you, he hasn't lost a step. Harley Brown joins us at 7:05. He's actually in studio with me now, hanging out, monitoring the program, getting ready to disseminate a lot of his information. And that'll be coming up at 7:05. We're joined now by Kimberly Adams of Fox News Radio, live from Cairo, Egypt. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Another day, another round of fighting and ceasefires. What's the Egyptian perspective on all this?
The Egyptian perspective is that they want, they're at least saying they want a ceasefire, but it's widely believed here that the Egyptian government would be pretty happy to see Hamas out of power in the Gaza Strip. The current government, which is a military-backed government, joins with the United States and Israel in viewing Hamas as a terrorist organization. The Egyptian government has been aggressively destroying its own tunnel network between what the tunnels that Hamas has dug between the Gaza Strip and Egypt's Sinai. And so the Egyptian government is trying to negotiate with, along with other international figures, but Hamas doesn't view Egypt as an impartial actor in that.
Well, and as yesterday you disclosed that whether it's Egypt or some of these other countries that want Israel to do the heavy lifting, whether it's Egypt or Saudi Arabia, Kimberly, you know, they have to have a balancing act because Israel is still not very popular in the Arab communities.
Absolutely. I mean, it's especially clear here in Egypt where the government clearly is not a fan of Hamas, but the Egyptian public, when they're looking at these images of Palestinian women and children being killed, as we saw today in a UN refugee center, there's a lot of anger against Israel and a lot of anger at the Egyptian government for being seen as siding with Israel in maintaining that blockade of the Gaza Strip.
Kimberly, we take a look at just these tunnels that keep going up and up and up, and you know, you have these folks that are living in their neighborhood, and then all of a sudden, before they know it, there are actually people popping up, either trying to kill them or killing the soldiers. How effective have the tunnels been, and whether it's in Egypt or Israel, how do you stop these things?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that Hamas views these tunnels as a game changer in this dynamic, and it is definitely very upsetting for the people in Israel in particular who've issued quite a bit of criticism at their government over the last few days, saying, how did you not know that these tunnels were there and as extensive as they are? I mean, back as far as the kidnapping of Gilad Shalit, which most of your listeners will remember, the Hamas kept him captive for several years and later exchanged him for 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. They knew that Hamas was using tunnels to go into Israel. But at the same time, you know, this tunnel network is one of the top priorities for Israel in this latest round of conflict. They say they don't plan on leaving Gaza until they can destroy that network.
Kimberly Adams joining us live in Cairo here at 580 KIDO. Any initial blowback to the Egyptian government, whether it's overtly or covertly helping the Israelis against Hamas?
Not a lot, mainly because the protest ability of people to protest here in Egypt has been extremely restricted and almost eliminated in the past year since the ouster of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi. There's a law here now that effectively bans anyone protesting for any reason without prior government permission, and the new government has been quite aggressive about arresting people who go out and protest without permission, and some of very high-profile activists, including those who helped lead the January 25th revolution in 2011, have been arrested and are actually in jail serving time for protesting without permission.
Kimberly, any end to this?
It's hard to see. I mean, it seems that right now there are going to continue to be these brief humanitarian ceasefires, which will allow some aid and a brief pause in fighting. But Israel has said and articulated that their goal in this is to make sure that Hamas no longer has the ability to fire rockets into Israel. They want to destroy this tunnel network. At the same time, the situation in Gaza is so dire that Hamas really has nothing to gain if they back down before achieving some visible gains for the population that they are supposed to be ruling, which for Hamas means a lifting of that blockade.
Any thoughts on the Israeli government and the pressures they're facing, whether it's internal or external? And I know it was big news that the UN condemned the practice of Hamas putting missiles in the schools. Does that help the Israeli government regionally, if not internationally?
It doesn't help them much regionally, but if you're talking about domestically within Israel, they actually don't really have a problem. Most of the Israeli population, an overwhelming majority, is approving of this operation, and they approve of the use of force as it's been done thus far. There's obviously protests and obviously some criticism of the civilian casualties, but when you look at these polls, the Israeli people seem to support what the government is doing. Internationally, these very high civilian casualties in Gaza, especially the children, especially at these UN facilities, is causing a lot of international outrage, and we're seeing much larger protests in Western countries, especially in Europe, than we have in the past in opposition to this.
Could it be because of the social media presence?
It's absolutely possible. Absolutely possible. It'll be very, I'm sure it will be a thesis topic for many political science students in the year to come.
Kimberly, final question for you in Cairo. Obviously, you're working, but you are a person. What's the entertainment scene like there? Do people actually enjoy themselves, or are they just constantly under stress?
Here in Cairo, it's getting a little bit better. I mean, the past month has been the Islamic fasting month of Ramadan, and so there weren't really many entertainment options. So now all of the nightclubs are slowly starting to reopen, and people are actually, many, many people are out of Cairo this week because they're celebrating the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. So lots of people have gone to the beach and are traveling and celebrating with family, and now that Ramadan is over, the Cairo nightlife, which is always active, is getting ready to start up again in earnest.
Well, we look forward to your in-depth team coverage on that topic.
I'll do personal investigations just for you.
Thank you, Kimberly. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, there we have it. Kimberly Adams joining us live from Cairo. That's right, live from Cairo here at 580 KIDO. Coming up next, one senator says our borders have ceased to exist. Glenn Beck says the president wants to be impeached. Have we all gone crazy? Is the world a mess? Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. How do we make something entertaining after those comments? Well, we do have our friend Harley Brown coming up at 7:05. He's going to give us his real solutions to real world problems as well. Let's get you to work safely now.
To put it mildly, the world is a mess.
Rocket fire is continuing from the Gaza Strip into Israel.
It was a Russian surface-to-air missile that brought down the Malaysian flight.
The border is not more secure than ever. That's a big lie.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth?
It is hard to come away with any feeling but that we are in the midst of a world gone mad.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, it is 6:53. If you check out the Kevin Miller hot list at 580 KIDO yesterday, yes, we're back in action after a sabbatical there for about a week. We don't take time off from the air, but we do take time off from the writing. John Boehner says impeachment off the table for the president of the United States. Glenn Beck on his program here at 580 KIDO saying the president wants to be impeached and the crisis on the border continues. How do we start this segment? Well, we go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning.
Kevin, I love you, man. Great show. In fact, I did a little rap for you this morning. Kevin Miller's my name, making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like thrust and I will kill if I must. Kevin,
we'll have to save that for a drop.
Let the war continue between Hamas and the Jewish people. Come on. What the Jewish leaders need to stand up and say, come on, you want to stop this war? Then you men in Palestine and farther south all the way up back up to Egypt, become men. And get rid of these Hamas people that are hiding in your schools and your hospitals. Do you think the United States of America caved in when we had to shock and awe Iraq? You know how many civilians we killed? It's always kill, 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 kill. It's like statistics. It's like what Hitler did with numbers. I mean, drunk driving every week in this country kills as many people as two jumbo jets. Do you imagine if two jumbo jets started hitting the ground every week in the United States? It's all hype, man. It's all hype. It's a war. If Hamas came over here and started dropping rockets in on KIDO and your building across the street, and then they went down and hit over at Bishop Kelly and started shooting rocks out of Bishop Kelly, what do you think we'd do, Kevin?
Hamas would only do that once, and that'd be the end of them.
Yeah, but there'd be no more Bishop Kelly. There'd be no – a war is a war.
There'd be no more Hamas, knowing the Second Amendment folks here in Idaho.
And war is hell. And if you're going to be in a war, you go all the way. You cut the other guy's throat, and you take his guts and grease the wheels of your tank.
Well, thank you for helping me as I'm digesting my gravy and eggs today.
And tell Harley, come on, man, give up. You can't just come out and grunt. You got to go after the people for what the people want. And in the paper yesterday, and I've said this over and over.
Well, hold on. Harley, Liberal Steve says you should give up, quit grunting. What do you have to say back to Liberal Steve?
You grunt like a friggin' pig, man. Keep it up.
Well, you know, I appreciate that comment because it's true. But any time you want to run, you got to be politically correct.
Well, we're not.
We're
the island of being politically incorrect. So thank you.
You both stay fired up. You're right. Good Americans.
All right. He's a coward. Is that what you're saying, Harley?
Coward.
All right. Harley Brown is ready to go here. He's coming up. He actually scared Liberal Steve away. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Will we ever find justice for those people on that Malaysian plane? No, not the one that's missing, the one that was shot down by the missile. The president has something to say about that. And as we're talking about all morning long, the idea of impeachment, and I put this on my Facebook page, and everybody's going back and forth, and we've had a couple progressives. We've had a couple people that view things differently than we do, which is great. Our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, saying, really, the president hasn't done anything to be impeached. And I said, what about his duty to enforce the border? Isn't that in the Constitution? Didn't Jefferson do that with the Barbary Pirates? And here's the other one. If Richard Nixon got the boot for what he did, and really what did he do? He erased some tapes, big deal. Where's the accountability with the Obama administration for the IRS, the NSA, the NAACP, the AIRP? You know what I'm saying. Think about that, and we'll discuss it. By the way, I'm looking forward to our hour with Harley Brown coming up next. 6:58, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work. 6:59, well, you just heard him moments ago. We always remember our friends here at 580 KIDO. And we always want to make sure that just because somebody's running for office or not running for office, if they give us good content, then we want them back. Compelling, provocative content, even better. That's why our friend Harley Brown is here. Because gosh knows, the host can't carry this show. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Meridian.